This is Jay Sekulow. We have breaking news. The chairman of the Homeland Security Committee says there's an informant about the FBI's secret society.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
What this is all about is further evidence of corruption, more than bias, but corruption at the highest levels of the FBI and that secret society. We have an informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site. There's so much smoke here.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
They're not just missing text messages from anybody. They're missing from two key people. Peter Strzok, who interviewed Huma Abedin, interviewed Cheryl Mills, interviewed Secretary Clinton. Peter Strzok, who helped run the Russian investigation, interviewed Mike Flynn. That Peter Strzok, with all these text messages between him and Lisa Page, where they talk about Trump should not be elected president, we need an insurance policy, he should lose $100 million to zero. Now we find out 5 months of text messages between these two individuals come up missing. You know, this is like the dog ate my homework. With, you know, with the excuse they give, this is something that is just should not take place.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
All right, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. Coming to you from our studios in Washington, D.C. So Senator Ron Johnson says that he has a whistleblower, has told Congress about a, quote, secret series of meetings that took place between FBI and Department of Justice officials who allegedly gathered to discuss ways to undermine the president following his victory in 2016. This, Logan, looks like it's coming off of this, also this release of text messages. We're still missing, of course, the five critical months, the prime time months, so sure. to speak. But this is the secret society allegations.
Right. A few pages of text messages have been released at this point, so we've only gotten a few specific ones. But just enough in here that mentioned things like from Strzok that says, for me, and in this case, obviously referring to the president, the whole situation, I personally have a sense of unfinished business. I unleashed it with the MYE, the mid-year exam, and now I need to fix it and finish it. So a pretty specific call out. These are not things that really can be taken out of context. And when it comes to the secret society and that issue, it seems like we have confirmed essentially that at least some kind of meetings
were taking place.
Yeah.
So you've got, you know, this comes out in the scope then of a document that was released really pursuant to the inspector general through the committees, mm-hmm. that the conversations between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. And we know there's this reference, which, you know, you thought first was kind of joking, this secret society, which I don't think is funny, by the way, especially if you're the FBI. But then you take it a step further here, and that step further indicates that you've got another scenario, and that is they actually, whoever this group was, that maybe initially met in Andy's office, from Andy McCabe, may actually have been having meetings.
Well, there's three indications here, Jay. The first one was mentioned by Lisa Page that they needed to start these meetings of the secret society. Then there's the confirmation of this informant to Chairman Johnson that, in fact, those meetings did happen and they were so secret that they happened off-site. Jay, I think the third and maybe most damaging piece of evidence is that when those secret society meetings were allegedly taking place, that is suddenly, randomly, how the text messages between Lisa Page and Peter Strzok disappeared. So if you wanted to cover up the fact that these meetings were taking place, what would you have to do? You would have to hide the correspondence between the two people that were coordinating the meetings. And guess what? That's what happened.
Well, Trey Gowdy said that there were text messages specifically indicating about not keeping text. In other words, destroying the text messaging. So I think we've raised a whole host of issues here. And I think, you know, Logan, what you've got, I could tell you the sense I have in Washington for the last few days, is that you have a scenario developing right now that people don't know what is going to come down next. There's this expectation
right.
that we have not yet uncovered a third of this story, that there's a lot more ahead on this.
I think that's true. And that's for just two pages released of the documents. And then just, you know, them repeating back what they've read so far. The fact that we haven't read this and they probably haven't had time to read these 50,000 text messages that were released. It's probably going to tell that we're going to have new information released every day on this. We'll keep you updated, obviously, with the most interesting that comes out of it. Phone lines are open right now if you want to get your voice heard. That's at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in on social media, facebook.com/JaySekulow, Twitter, Periscope at JaySekulow, at Logan Sekulow. You can tweet us and get your comments in. But again, phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We do have more coming up with Jay Sekulow Live. I know our phone lines are jamming up quick. I know you want your voice heard on this. So make sure you give us a call. Because, I mean, you can't ask for a crazier story. And each day, it gets crazier and crazier. We'll be right back.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, the agenda Iran, Russia, and jihadists share for conquering the world. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I'm coming to you from our studios in Washington, D.C. I think it's important to go back through the text messages we have, but we also have this reference to the secret society, and now we've got an informant to Senator Johnson from
Homeland Security.
Homeland Security Committee Chair, who says that they've got a informant talking about a group holding secret meetings off-site between DOJ and FBI folks. And there's actually a secret society reference, I guess, in some of these text messages that are coming up. But let's go with the start of this thing. It says, Peter Strzok starts the message by saying he wanted to talk to Lisa Page about the Mueller probe. Because remember, right before the Mueller probe, for 5 months before, the FBI can mysteriously not find the information. It's not available. So you have a situation, literally, where the information's not available because it's been lost. We heard the same story in the IRS cases. They ultimately were found and we won the case. But it starts with, and that's why I want to talk to you about, my answer is no. So initially he's saying, I want to be, you know, I've been asked to be part of this team. I don't want to do it. He then sends another text message within literally a minute to Lisa Page from Peter Strzok that says, a case which will be in the history books. And then he says, this is a chance to do, and this is an interesting portion here, maybe the most important case of our lives. She then says that, Strzok says, then again, what did Andy say about it? excuse me. Andy, of course, is, we think, a reference to Andy McCabe. So what did Andy McCabe say about this? Then Lisa Page, in response to Peter Strzok saying, I want to be involved in this, says, no way, dude, actually, she says, I don't really think you should do it. Then later on, within an hour or so, or hours, he sends another text message that says, for me, and this is again to Lisa Page, in this case, I personally have a sense of unfinished business, unleashed it with the MYE, which was the mid-year examination of Hillary Clinton. He said, now I need to fix it and finish it. In other words, unfinished business. How do you read that, Dan?
Well, first of all, it's hard to follow because half of it is romantic flirting, to be quite honest with you.
But the other
half of it, Jay, is that his hesitations to join this probe were overcome because he thought that he could take down the president. I mean, I think that's clear in this text message. And he talks about a case for the history books. He talks about needing to fix and finish the mid-year exam. And then he talks about, quote, an investigation leading up to impeachment. So even though he said there's no there, Jay, his desire to achieve a partisan agenda ultimately carried the day.
I mean, they have language in here that I'm not going to repeat. When they say, they're talking about an AD, assistant directors, that they say they don't give a blank about what they think. And then he asks the question, an investigation leading to impeachment, to which Page eventually responds. Lisa Page says, we should stop having the conversation here. Just tell Bill you need another day and we can discuss tomorrow. So I'm going to stop it there. We're going to get to the other bombshells in this thing. But and I know we've got a lot of calls coming in. But, folks, I'm reading this to you because I want to lay the evidence just strictly out there. And Logan, what I want to know is what folks are saying on social media. But I know you all, you and Will, have been following the other media sources here. And how in the world is, I mean, maybe they are. I've been jammed up the last 2 days. CNN, MSNBC, are they even covering this? Or are they blowing this off to a technical glitch?
Well, I would say this, that a lot of the news coverage on the other networks are carrying mainly stories that are weeks old, if you really look at it. I mean, we were looking at it this morning. Obviously, when it comes to the political spectrum, you're looking at things that are not even on topic, not even what's happening right now. So I think that there is just a general idea to just ignore this, that this is happening. Obviously, the president tweeting about it, talking about it. You have people on Fox News talking about it. We talk about it. So there are certain media sources that are obviously putting this out there. When it comes to the mainstream media, there may be a story here and there on their website. There may be an occasional mention, but they're certainly not devoting shows to it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been asked to do one other network, and I may end up doing it tonight. We'll see, but the and we'll let you know if I do. But the fact is, you've got all this information here. Let's go ahead and take a phone call, and then I want to go through some more of the substance of this.
Yep.
So we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Logan, who do we have?
Let's go to Howard in Texas on line four.
Hey, Howard, how are you?
Good morning, Jay. Good morning, Jay. Yep. I really want to thank you for the work that you've been doing. I am a retired federal official. I am absolutely incensed at what I'm seeing. Back yep. when I was in the government, which was not that long ago, IG investigations were hallowed ground. The people that have yep. been – President Obama is smart because he put line officers, people down in the lower echelons that cannot just be removed in the political sense. And they've gone in there and they've infected the system so that they become political in nature. We were never, the line officers were never intended nor looked at as a political unit. You did what the commander in chief told you. Whoever, they, administration came and went. And you.
Well, that's it.
No, you're right. And yeah, so here's what you have. I was a government lawyer too. I mean, I was a government lawyer right out of law school. Actually, I was a lawyer for the Office of Chief Counsel, the Internal Revenue Service, the Department of the Treasury. Tried cases in tax court and represented the government, did civil cases. For the United States Treasury, did recommendations, what's called CRLs, on criminal reference letters involving matters that would go to the Department of Justice. And you're right, you never had this kind of political infusion, but you do now. And what you've got here, of course, I was the low level. I was the trial lawyer. But now you've got this coming up from very high officials. And the problem is, you have to put this into an entire context. None of this sits alone. There's more to it than just one segment. And that is, you've got to put this into a collective. That is, you got 50,000 or so, whatever they're saying, missing text messages, but they happen to be the primetime months of the Russia probe, right? When the Flynn conversations were allegedly taking place, when Strzok interviews Flynn, remember, he did the interview of General Flynn, when the fake dossier is published by BuzzFeed, when James Comey is terminated, when Bob Mueller's appointed, and then all of a sudden the text messages show up again. And they're saying this is a technical glitch. And if the FBI let a five-month technical glitch go on, that's okay. That borders on the absurd. No one in their right mind is going to believe that. That's number one. Number two, and I think equal here, is you do have the ones you do have of the text messaging, and there's no question that, you know, I heard some of the other networks arguing, well, these agents have free speech rights, and there's no doubt they do. But that doesn't mean you get to be the agent on that case when you've got this kind of animus. For instance, when you have the question, an investigation or a statement by Strzok, I'm not going to read the expletives before it, but then it says an investigation leading to impeachment. And then the next thing coming out of Page, this is Lisa Page, who also was on the Mueller team for a period of time. We should stop having this conversation here. Just tell Bill you need another day, and we can discuss tomorrow. Now, I wonder if Bill is Rybicki?
Nope. No. That's Bill Priestap, the director of counterintelligence, Peter Strzok's boss. He would have been the one day that would have had to sign off on all of this counterintelligence, all of the FISA applications, any dossier inclusion, any of that. So, again, I want to underscore the point. You talk about the highest levels. Peter Strzok is high enough. I mean,
yeah.
He's a
deputy
assistant.
Oh, yeah.
Bill Priestap is the director of counterintelligence at the FBI, Jay. It does not get higher than that unless you're talking about the director of the FBI. Who was that? Oh, well, that was James Comey.
Yeah, and then this one, too. when thinking about whether he'll do it or not, and indicating he will not because he this is what he says. You and I both know the odds are nothing. If I thought it was likely, I'd be there, no question. Likely, in other words, resulting in an impeachment recommendation or some kind of legal action against the president. I hesitate in part because of my gut sense and concern there's no big there. And then, again, they said, let's talk about this tomorrow. Fine, didn't think I said anything wrong, but fine. Is Andy going to the board? So what is that? Is Andy going to the board? Do we have any idea what that is?
We don't know what they're talking about there, but it happens in the context of Lisa Page begging him to stop texting on these government phones about there being no there, Jay. So the two things that we need, those 5 months of missing text messages and the text message that they use on their personal phones that in all likelihood, I don't think this is speculation now, in all likelihood talks about the details of what the secret society was doing in those meetings offsite.
Yeah. So, Logan, what is the pickup right now on this whole secret society stuff?
Yeah, there is a lot of news kind of breaking. It was in our subject line today. You may have seen that we said that essentially an informant has confirmed that there were secret society meetings. Here is a clip. This is from Senator Ron Johnson giving you the evidence.
What this is all about is further evidence of corruption, more than bias, but corruption at the highest levels of the FBI and that secret society. We have an informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site. There's so much smoke here.
Yeah, so there you go. So we're talking about secret meetings off-site as a part of a group. Sound familiar? Yeah, we talked about yesterday whether that sounded like it was a joke, whether it was whatever, didn't matter, it was still inappropriate. Seems like it wasn't a joke.
No, clearly not a joke, but and the American people, this is not a laughing matter, and they shouldn't even be pretending about this. But then you got to put on top of this the Bruce Orr situation, where his wife's working for Fusion GPS and assigned to the Christopher Steele Russia fake dossier. So that's part of this. So the taint underlying all this is pretty significant. And, if I do one of the other networks tonight, I'm going to try to bring that out and see if they'll let me. They generally try not to, but I'm going to tell them that's I want to be able to lay this out and get an answer to this and see if they'll have a discussion about this that's rational to see what this means and how it plays out. Anyways, we're going to be back with more calls and comments. Logan, let everybody know how they can stay engaged, and we appreciate your support for the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ.org.
That's right. Get your voice heard right now. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110 as we head into this break. 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in online. We take some of those during the show and during the break. It's at facebook.com/JSeculo. Twitter, Periscope @JSeculo. Get your tweets in now. And again, we'll be right back with more on JSeculo Live. And if you're watching online, more content coming up during the break. So don't go anywhere.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up, at aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're coming to you from Washington, D.C. So the news is multifold. We've got the missing text messages. I just took you through the order of how these text messages set up and what these two agents were up to. They were initially on the Bob Mueller special counsel team. They were removed after several months when this was discovered. It was discovered evidently by Inspector General Horowitz, who's supposed to be issuing a report on this literally like any day now. We're also calling for the release of the four-page summary of the information that's been gathered by the Senate, the House Intelligence Committee. House, I get my committees right here. House Intel. Yeah. So House Intel with Congressman Nunez. Now, in that regard, there is a process that they're going through. What is the latest on that one, on getting that document released?
So the information that belongs to the House Intel Committee can be released to the public with a vote of the committee and the president not objecting, both of which I do think will happen, Jay. The
president's not objecting.
My understanding is that they are in the process right now of letting the underlying intelligence agencies that they depend on to detail that memo, letting them know that this is going to happen and giving them an opportunity to object. One thing of note, though, Jay, I mean, there's a dispute between them and the FBI, and they have said all of this is based on information you gave us, but we have had to drag it out of you. So why would we show you in advance when we know that you're trying to undercut our work?
It's unreal. All right, Logan, let's go ahead and take another phone call if we can.
Let's go to Sean in Texas on line three. Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, Sean, welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call, man. It's an honor to speak with you. I really do appreciate what you do. My question to you is, to what end? You know, how does an average American like myself, spread this information to my friends, my family members? Where do we go from here? You know, we've long speculated these things, and now we're getting
Seeing, but that's a good right. So you're seeing the information now come out. It's, in other words, the information's unfolding into the public sphere. So what's happening is, when we've been calling for investigations, or when it's a FOIA request or a FOIA litigation that we're involved in, or here as the committees are doing their work, the information comes out and a picture's being painted. And what's being painted is a very tainted Russia probe from the outset. And what you, I think, are seeing is the continual fallout, and it's going to come over time. So in other words, we're not getting everything at one time. There's thousands and thousands of text messages. These are just a few of them that are being released. We had the Fusion GPS disclosure was just in December. We are still in January. And you've got to put all of this together and say, what was going on here? What was the issue that's creating this?
It always takes time. There are always puzzle pieces. We get some of them. The Congress gets some of them. Some of them come through litigation. But, Jay, I want to make one analogy here. It took a long time for Lois Lerner to be forced out, even though the evidence was piled up against her. But guess what? People are starting to resign at the FBI because the evidence is piling up against them. That needs to continue. It's not a quick process, but it is working.
Well, look, and your support of the ACLJ helps, because when we send out these FOIA requests, it's amazing what we are starting to find. And I mean, it takes litigation. We've got teams of lawyers working on it. And as you know, we're working both our media angles. We're working our legislative affairs angles that Than heads up. We've got our government affairs team. We've got our litigators. We've got our FOIA team. I mean, there's a lot of people behind the scenes here that are getting information for you, and having that your voice is being able to be seen and heard. You're being heard in Washington, D.C. There's no doubt about it. But I don't think we have seen, Logan, the tip of this iceberg yet.
No, and each
I
day,
really don't.
Each day more and more information comes out, and we keep uncovering just more stuff. And it's honestly, it's not funny, but it is interesting to see each day.
Well, I mean, if you were writing a script for a movie, it'd be good.
Right, exactly. There is a sense of being the fact that we have access to this, which you're all of a sudden, you get shocked each and every day. I said it yesterday. Tomorrow we're going to come on. We're going to have more stuff to talk about. This is precisely that. Let's go ahead and take another phone call. Let's go to Art, who's calling California online too.
Hi, Art.
Hello, Jay and JT.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for taking my call, and thank you for all the work you do. May God bless it and favor it as you continue on. I had a question and a comment. My question was regarding Strzok and Page and everything that's coming out right now. Who's actually policing these people? Because it almost seems like they themselves consider them an enclave, that they are above the law by the things that they are doing and having these secret societies and these meetings. And
well, then, look, I mean, they were dealing with the most senior people within the Department of Justice. I mean, they were the senior people within the Department of Justice. I mean, Than just said that. I mean, these are senior people within the Department of Justice that were engaged in this. And look, we're now seeing pieces of it. I mean, remember, Bruce Orr was the number four in the Department of Justice until a couple months back. So all of the, he still has a major position. I think he's in charge of drug trafficking. I mean, it's not like he has an insignificant position, but his wife was working for Fusion GPS, writing up the dossier. And I think we have to put all of that together in context here.
Jay, they do believe they're above the law. And the evidence is in the text that Lisa Page sent to Peter Strzok. She begs him to stop texting about it on government phones. Why would she do that? Because she was afraid of getting caught. If she didn't think they were doing anything wrong, Jay, they would not have to hide the text. They would not have to be worried about them being revealed. But she knew that they were abusing their power. She knew that it came across as being above the law and probably was. And she was worried about what, Jay? She was worried that one day you and I would sit here with two of the 384 pages, not counting the 5 months missing, not counting the other phones, and we would be reading these to the public. And Jay, we're doing that today.
Well, here's my question on all of this, and that is this, and looking at this, do we have a situation here where we've just scratched the surface? The answer to that is yes. So what do you do with the information, which was a good question? You assimilate it, and the department has to assimilate it. And it may be that they need an outside, I wouldn't even know if you need a special counsel for this. I've called that for this entire FBI matter. I now think that, and I've said that, there needs to be a special counsel looking at all of this. Not Bob Mueller. That's not his mandate. But to look at this. Or they bring someone into the Department of Justice to handle this top to bottom. Because you're dealing with the highest levels of the FBI and DOJ. And if there were secret offsite meetings and they were senior people involved in this, that has to be looked at. I mean, I know Jeff Sessions said he's going to investigate. But I think this may be, I'm not a big advocate of special counsels. But this may be one of those moments where the Department of Justice is incapable, we said this with the IRS, of institutionally correcting itself.
In order to have any chance of assimilating it, Jay, you have to have access to all the information.
Yep.
So someone with classified clearance and access to all of it. At this point, we don't have that.
Nope. And like Logan said, we're just seeing beginnings. Can we grab one more call, Logan, possible?
Yeah, we can do that. Let's go to Andrea in Houston, Texas, here on the air.
Hi, Andrea. Go ahead.
Hello. I just wanted to say I'm very proud of all the deplorable voters who decided to drain the swamp. They made this all possible because if Trump doesn't win, none of this comes to light. And Hillary actually, you know, if she wins, none of this comes to light. It's just sickening.
Well, I'll tell you what you've got here is the House and Senate. I have to say this. They've done a really good job on this, Than. I mean, you could other people can take credit. I'm not going to take credit for this. I mean, we're glad this is coming. We're assimilating the information. We're utilizing that to determine what are the conflicts here. But I think it's important that the House and Senate have been on top of this.
They've done a good job. They're not all the way there yet. We need to see that memo. And
we
some
really
other
need to see that memo.
Info. I would say this to Andrea's point. Jay, the American people have to be permitted to elect someone that the ruling class disfavors. They disfavor Donald Trump. The American people chose him, and yet the ruling class, the bureaucracies, and the law enforcement of our country tried to overturn the American people.
All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. Logan's going to let you know right now what you can do to stay engaged.
That's right. We do have a full half hour left till Jay Secular Life. You don't get it on your local station. If you're on SiriusXM, you're fine. If you're watching online, you're fine. But you can do that. You can go log over absolutely free online. You can go on social media, facebook.com/JaySekulow, Twitter, Periscope, @JaySekulow, broadcasting second half hour, as well as ACLJ.org. You can also stay in touch with us on ACLJ.org, on the ACLJ app, on the App Store for iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, and on Roku. You can also find us at the Jay Sekulow Live podcast. Subscribe there on iTunes or however you get your podcast. At ACLJ.org, you can give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. We're right back with more on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family. Become a member and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We're having some switching going on in Washington, D.C., so if you're watching online, that's what's happening here. We are discussing the issues, obviously, with more release of the text messages to pages, which is nothing compared to the 50,000 that were released, have been dropped. They have comments like from Strzok, from me. In this case, I personally have a sense of unfinished business, obviously referring to the election, and I've unleashed it with my mid-year exam. Now I need to fix it and finish it. Sounds like a pro wrestling promo. Doesn't sound like reality, and I think that's what's crazy is this stuff doesn't feel real, but it is. We have 50,000 text messages to go through, and each day we're going to have something different. I believe, Jordan, are you ready? Jordan Sekulow in Washington, D.C. is there as well. How are things going there?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot to talk about. I think what's standing out the most is specific to Senator Johnson. I know we've talked about this in our second half hour, that Senator Johnson has talked about not just the text messages referencing a secret society, but an informant. So someone who witnessed this meeting offsite knew that there were FBI agents going offsite from government property to secretly meet post-election about undermining the current president of the United States. And to me, again, having these senators like this with this kind of information coming out, and we know, again, this is just how many text messages they can get out a day as they're working through and as the Congress is working through. And that we haven't even gotten to those yet. But it's obviously it's gotten to the desk of Senator Johnson. It's gotten to people like Congressman Jordan. I know people have calls about it. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Can we play the soundbite from Senator Johnson? It is, I think for most folks, to understand a U.S. senator announcing this in the news should be absolutely shocking to the court. I mean, bone-chilling in a sense that our government has operating this way, and there are people ready to expose it. Let's take a listen.
What this is all about is further evidence of corruption, more than bias, but corruption at the highest levels of the FBI and that secret society. We have an informant that's talking about a group that were holding secret meetings off-site. There's so much smoke here.
I mean, that to me, Than, again, informant with secret meetings off-site. We know about the secret society from Congressman Jordan has spoken to that. Other members of Congress confirmed that. And now we have off-site secret meetings, all related to this was post-election. So whatever they were trying to do pre-election didn't work. And now it was how do we undermine post-election? And I think if you look in the news, you could see exactly what they've been trying to do all along. And these are the upper echelons. The people who are at main FBI here in Washington, D.C., just a couple blocks down from our office where I am right now, have made it to the very top of the bureaucracy, which everybody but two people at the FBI are bureaucrats. So if you've made it to the Washington, D.C. headquarters, where you're the director of a department, then you have a lot of influence, a lot of power, and you are. This is your career. You are this is a careerist, and everything you do after this will be based on this. And they believe they've got a lot of power, and they're flexing muscles here, obviously in front of other coworkers.
And that time period that you're talking about, Jordan, perfectly overlaps with the missing text so conveniently. There's three pieces of corroborating evidence here. First of all, Lisa Page suggested that they were going to start these meetings. Now Chairman Johnson has the informant confirming that they happened off-site. And then you have the text messages that are conveniently missing when they were so-called meeting, and then ending with the appointment of the special counsel. That is not an accident, Jordan. And to your point about the upper echelons, Bill, who they talk about in these text messages, Bill Priestep, the director of counterintelligence. The director, Jordan.
Yeah, these are, again, it's like director of counterintelligence. These folks, we want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, tell people how to stay involved with the show.
That's right. Phone lines are open right now, 1-800-684-3110. As we go to the break here, we have an exclusive video just for you guys. What's the video today? Put it up in the chat so I can pitch to it. But we will have more content coming up during the breaks and during the show if you're watching online. You can stay in touch by following us and tweeting us at Jay Sekulow, Jordan Sekulow, Logan Sekulow, Dan Bennett, ACLJ. Find all our content on Facebook as well, facebook.com/Jay Sekulow. But yes, so what you'll see if you're watching on social media at ACLJ.org during this break is actually my dad, Jay Sekulow, here for the first half hour on Sean Hannity's broadcast last night. Take a look.
It's a critical time for our nation and for the world. With so many challenges facing our country, the work of the American Center for Law and Justice has never been more important than right now. At the ACLJ, we're engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, defending human life, standing up for our good friend Israel, working to uncover the deep state, the massive corruption in Washington, battling to end the genocide of Christians in many parts of the world, and a firm commitment to back constitutional efforts to protect our country from radical Islamic terrorists. You can learn more about the mission and work of the ACLJ online at aclj.org. There's not a better time to stand with the ACLJ, become a member, and make a difference as we work to protect your constitutional and religious freedoms. You can become a member of the ACLJ online. Sign up right now, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. This comes into light. We've talked about the text messages, the secret society, the no, they're there, but maybe I want to do this to finish out my job. These were folks who were, again, leading the Russia investigation, who led the Clinton email investigation. There's an affair happening here. There's thousands upon thousands of text messages that are being released by Congress. But what we found out now is that it's not just a personal bias or a political bias that these individuals have against the President of the United States or Republicans, but that they were actually trying to do something about it. So they were trying to put the bias into action by utilizing the government. And that is what is the most troubling, is that if our intelligence and law enforcement is being used as political weapons, then that's the greatest fear of bringing down our democracy, is that the tools of our government to protect us and our liberty get used against the people based on their views. We've seen it with the IRS, but this FBI is a whole nother level because they've got a whole nother level of influence and ability, again, to conduct investigations, to conduct surveillance, to recommend criminal actions being prosecuted by the Department of Justice. We know that the bureaucrats are to the left, but you would think that in these agencies, you would have a more down-the-middle approach, even just based on who the individuals likely are that would be signing up to serve in the FBI or in the counterintelligence. But some of this, it's again, you talk about draining the swamp or changing Washington, D.C., and suddenly it's a conservative, liberal, Republican, Democrat to some extent, but I think it goes deeper than that. Let's take some phone calls now, Logan. I know people have been holding on.
All right, yeah, let's go in order for a little bit. Let's go to Sherry in Tucson, Arizona, on line one. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
My question is this. I don't hear anything on the morning news about any of this, and so I know that they are biased. Refresh my memory and tell me if they covered anything about your guys' success in the IRS scandal.
Yeah, I mean, remember, this is one of those issues where we took on, as an organization representing clients and groups, the entire Internal Revenue Service, to their top bureaucrats, took 4 years in federal court, and ultimately, the way the Washington Post described it, was an IRS that was completely bludgeoned, beaten down, unable to operate. And we've even seen those reports as of late, then, is that the IRS has had a tough time with the new tax code because Congress cut a lot of their funding. due to the fact that there was so much misconduct. It doesn't mean that everything is perfect there, but that was an agency that used to be one of the scariest in Washington, D.C., that has been one of the quietest. Their level of work has gone down significantly, and that's because the people stood up. People were willing to fight back against the IRS.
They've been declawed, Jordan. I really think there is a good analogy between that case that we litigated and this case, because it took a lot of time. It took a lot of energy. It seemed like the traction was slow. But eventually we got to a point where they were put back in their place and their power did shrink. Jordan, I would tell you this. People have started to leave the FBI as a result of this. I mean, the former chief of staff to James Comey and now Christopher Wray, James Rubicki, resigned yesterday. Do you think that's an accident? Because he is on all of these email exchanges that we uncovered in our FOIA investigation. Jordan, people are starting to leave. I think this one will end like the IRS did, but people have to understand it does take some time.
All right, 1-800-684-3110, a couple lines open. We want to take more calls, though, Logan. People have been holding on and answering questions along the way.
Let's go Steve on line 5 in Prescott, Arizona. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much. Hey, my question was, it's a why question. Whoever, quote-unquote, they are, if they're looking into all this stuff, why don't they subpoena or warrant to take away and look into all these electronic devices that are government-owned and being used by government employees and try and figure this stuff out? And if they don't find anything and somebody, quote-unquote, lost all this information, why aren't they being held accountable for it?
Well, I'd say a couple things, Steve. So they is the Congress in this situation who has oversight with these agencies because they fund them. You know, Congress comes up with the budget, as we all know through going through the recent very short government shutdown. Congress decides how much money they all get to spend, which relates to their staffing and their work. That means when you have oversight, you can ask for information, the government documents. This is not people's private phones, which could still be, in this situation, relevant. But when you're talking about government computers and government phones, you're talking about government documents, they don't have to issue subpoenas. They just issue requests. Now, on the issue of what happened to the missing documents, we already have seen the Department of Justice, Dan, through Attorney General Sessions. There's an investigation right now. So it's at the highest level, has not just taken at face value this statement that it was a phone fault of a specific brand and specific issue of a phone. So all of that is being taken into account, and you don't have to take those steps that in a normal law enforcement situation where you're not the Congress with the oversight, you're not the Attorney General, that you're not able to do so quickly. These can be resolved in a quicker fashion. And the info, but it is a ton of info that Congress is sorting through, even to get us the text, and it's a lot of info to fight through bureaucracy on the tech side of these missing text messages.
You're exactly right, Jordan. And the letter yesterday that the chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, Ron Johnson, and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Chuck Grassley, sent to the Inspector General at DOJ essentially said what you just did. Look, we put you in charge as the Inspector General of the Department of Justice to get down to the bottom of this. And to me, Jordan, the most interesting part of this letter that was sent over, the chairman said, on December 6, 2017, you promised us that you had all of the text between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. You did not tell us that any were missing. So now we want to know, do you have those text messages? Did the FBI turn them over to you, or did they omit them and you declined to tell us as well? So, Jordan, we're not sure we can even trust the Inspector General at this point, but that's what these chairmen are trying to get at.
All right, 1-800-684-3110. Logan, any comments you want to take online, or you want to go right to the phone?
Sure, this is one that came in. We took during the break, but I think we need to answer it. A lot of people are watching right now on social media and sharing this with their friends because they know this is something that's a serious issue. Enough is enough is what was just put in. What can we actually do? Time for us to fight back. That is from Kathleen on Facebook.
Okay, so let's remind you, we're a couple days into this, but let's remind you, last week, we know that there is another document that the Congress, when they're back, can vote on to release to the public from the House Intelligence Committee, 4 pages of a summary of a larger report that goes directly to the heart of a lot of these issues, Dan, and the heart of the government misconduct. We know this from congressmen who have spoken to the issue. They've been able to review this document in a secure fashion, so they're not taking this document with them. It's not being emailed around, but ultimately it could be released, and that's what we're asking people to take action for online at aclj.org, to pressure Congress to keep the focus on to get this document out, which they have the ability to do with the House Intelligence Committee, and let the American people, not just members of Congress, actually review it.
Well, your dad talked about in an earlier segment of the broadcast how in order to get to the truth, you're going to have someone that can assimilate all of the information and put it in chronological form. Jordan, that's essentially what the House Intel Committee has done in this four-page memo. You're right. They can release it to the American public. It takes a vote of the committee and then no objection from the White House. Jordan, we have every indication that that is going to happen. They're going through the steps of notifying the intelligence agencies involved here. I do think that's going to happen, but to your point, we cannot let up until we see the document, because if the attention declines, then maybe we would never see it.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those things. Again, I think we're in one of those windows right now. There's a lot of focus on it. Then there was the shutdown was so quick that everybody gets back to the kind of the normal operation. But Congress is – the House is out of Washington, D.C. right now. And then are they back next week then? Is that when they're back in town? So that's probably the soonest. They've got to vote on it. It's not a full House vote. It's an Intelligence Committee vote. And then – ultimately, it could get released. So I think that's an action item that we have to keep pounding on. We can't forget just from last week, so much news happens in just a few days. We have to focus in on that.
All right. Should we take one more call before we head to
break? Yeah, we can take one more call.
All right. Let's do it. Let's go to Steve on line four. Steve, you're on the air. If you want to call in, 1-800-684-3110.
Hello.
Hey, Steve, go ahead.
Yeah, my question was 31 years in law enforcement, retired. I'm wanting to know why haven't any of the other people's text messages been released, like the people that he's referring to, her and him referring to, like their bosses, Andy McCabe or Rosenstein?
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll know from the, I think from the memo, those names have come up directly by members of Congress who have read it. So that's not just a speculation. Those members of Congress took that directly. They mentioned those two individuals. The number two at the Department of Justice, currently the number two at the FBI. But in Rosenstein's case, he's number two at the Department of Justice, but number one when it comes to anything related to Russia. So I think we're getting these specific text messages because we know of this ongoing relationship between these two individuals. But I think that they are bringing in a whole list of issues. The government doesn't just have to limit this to them. I think some of it is what you can also digest at a time. I mean, we're talking thousands upon thousands upon thousands of messages to go through. And obviously, every time they're referencing individuals, this meeting, I mean, the meeting that is happening off-site of FBI agents after the election to attempt to undermine the administration, it shockwaves through our country. We'll take your phone calls about it, 1-800-684-3110. We're broadcasting on Facebook and Periscope. We're also taking folks' comments online as well.
That's right. Get your comments in on social media as we head into this last segment of the day. There are a couple lines open at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And get your comments in again as well on Facebook, Periscope, and Twitter. Be right back.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's the last segment of the day, so we'll focus in on those calls and those who have been holding on. As lines are full right now. We'll get to online comments as well.
Let's go to Dennis first in Maryland. Thanks for holding, Dennis. You are on the air on line two. Go ahead.
Hello again, gentlemen. I just want to clarify something, and I haven't heard properly. Is it only the text between Stroh and his girlfriend that are missing, or is it all of the FBI texts from that period?
So, I mean, we don't know. Everyone, right? The way I would read it is not limited to just these two individuals. Now, the way it's specifically laid out is that you've got the specific phone and model of phone that no longer was saving messages. These weren't the only two people that had this phone. This was widespread use. So that, I think, is we don't know to the extent of how many other people this would apply to if they tried to, again, use these excuses of not being able to get the information. And we don't know about secondary steps, if any have been taken yet. And so I think the Attorney General's review and the Department of Justice review will show if there have been any attempts to actually recover this in a secondary way. So let's say, okay, that the device, take them at their word, the device is so faulty that it doesn't save anything. So what if it was sent over databases? And if there's other, obviously, it can't just be their two devices. They're not alleging here that someone, Than, took a hammer and smashed their devices up.
Right.
That's not the case.
So the committees were seeking the text messages from these two individuals, Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, and the Bureau claims that they do not have the text messages between these two individuals for those certain dates. But I want to underscore the point you just made. That is absolutely not credible unless they have other employees with the same devices who are missing text messages from the same period of time, which is why in this letter from Chairman Johnson and Chairman Grassley back to the Inspector General, he asked that exact question. Are you missing text messages from other employees for the same amount of time? Jordan, he gave him till January 29th to know the answer. So hopefully in the next 5 days, we'll have the answer to that specific question.
We'd be talking about the FBI for almost half a year, then losing all of its messages. So you think about that. How do you do a government oversight? How do they move forward if you think that there's wrongdoing on their part and you can't get at the information? And these you see how the text messages start right back up, and it's thousands upon thousands. But this five-month gap would, if it did affect the entire Federal Bureau of Investigation, would have serious implications for a number of law enforcement activities, including the normal and necessary oversight by our elected Congress over a powerful executive branch office like the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
All right.
Let's go back.
Let's take some more calls. Chris in New Hampshire on line three. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. These guys are the gatekeepers, okay? These are the ones we go to keep things safe and to protect evidence and so on and so forth. With the fox in the hen house, how do we safeguard this evidence? How does more evidence not get either tampered with, destroyed, or obstructed?
Well, I think that we are getting to a time period in probably history where they may be able to, at the front line, make this go away. So they can make information tougher to get. But ultimately, with all these instances of missing emails and destroyed hard drives, I mean, you have to go through a lot more steps. Now, listen, if the Federal Bureau of Investigation would be one of those agencies where the people might be more adept to doing it, but a lot more steps than a device misconfiguration to lose all data. And I don't think we cannot accept that. It gets to a funding issue as well. So there's a lot of people out there that work for the FBI. They're in the regional offices. They're doing good work, even probably most people in Washington, D.C. But it is infected at its highest levels by partisan actors, and that is unacceptable to our country. Back to the phones.
All right, let's go to Wendy calling California on line six. Wendy, welcome.
Hi, I have a question, a comment or a statement you made earlier about people are starting to resign from the FBI. I'm not sure if that included the DOJ. Will these people, even though they've resigned, will they still be called up and questioned or be held accountable, or are they just going to slip by and retire on these wonderful pensions and not be held accountable?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's up to our government. You know, when you talk about the criminal side of this, that is a government activity. So it's Department of Justice investigating. You got to ask questions about, is it capable of doing that in this situation because of the people that this involves? Congress has to do its job bringing this information forward. But ultimately, it is the DOJ, not Congress, that would bring that information. And I'd say to the second point, all of these people could have to testify. Just because they leave the position does not absolve them from that duty. I think we're just scratching the surface of this, though. I mean, we're talking about a few of the biggest names, not in Washington, D.C. politics, but in government bureaucracy, Than. Chiefs of staff for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Not a household name, never will be, but in Washington, people that wield serious power and influence.
Yeah, leaving the Bureau certainly should not absolve you for past actions. But I would say this, Jordan, it's still very good when they leave because it means they no longer have their finger on the authority of all of these awesome powers of the Bureau. And I would just point this out real quickly. Chairman Johnson also mentioned that this secret society we've been talking about, that it was attended by high levels. So we're not talking about line agents. We're talking about the highest levels of the Bureau. It's very important we know who that was, so that they follow James Rubicki out the door.
Yep. All right, back to the phones. Let's try to get these last two calls.
All right, Jay's calling California. Quickly, Jay, you're on the air.
Hi. I just want to ask one thing. All I've been hearing is our government this corrupt and this bad, and what is going to happen? It's just a general question. But I don't hear
I think it's
any
more exposed, Jay. I think, let me just jump right in. I think it's more exposed than ever before. Could it get away with this stuff easier in the past because you didn't have the kind of record keeping and data because everything wasn't going online and the messages back and forth weren't so easy to get? Absolutely. Was it as corrupt? I think it was even tougher. You know, so all the tools, it may have been easier to try and influence and use your political biases at the same time. At the same time, it is easier to track it. It is easier to go after these people. So I think that we're just wising up to what we've suspected about our government and the federal bureaucracy specifically for a long time. Conservatives have been preaching this message for decades that our bureaucracy is out of control. It goes back to the days of Ronald Reagan.
All right.
Last call of the day.
All right. You're on the line. Jane, you're on the air. Jane, you there?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead quickly.
Okay. I have a related concern regarding what's been going on to undermine our republic and the sanctity of the vote. With regard to things that were said prior to the election by high-ranking Democratic members, for example, Nancy Pelosi, you can find it in several online montages, said there's no way that Donald Trump would ever become president and that you could take that to the bank. And it makes me wonder just how much some of these people knew about what was going on to undermine our
system. You know what we've seen, Jane, in the past in our IRS case, and I think this is specific. Listen, there's political bluster, and politicians do that all the time. But they also try to influence the executive agencies to take certain specific actions which appear to be politically motivated. We saw that in the IRS case, where members of Congress were telling the IRS, look into this specific group, I don't like their activities. So we have seen that before. Again, this all comes to light because we're going to get the information. Congress is doing its job sorting through this. It's unprecedented info that the American public is getting access to. We know there is more out there. We need to get the release of that memo and get involved at ACLJ.org. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.